You got me.
Here we go. Another episode of the Black CFP series with the miss, the wonderful Lizetta Braxton. I cannot wait for everyone to know who you are. Obviously, a lot of us do anyway, but it's a very huge highlight to have you on the show as well. And for that are new in listening to this, I'm Stoy Hall, your host, co-host technically. We have multiple series, and I own Black Mammoth, but I really run this podcast to be loud for our industry, not only obviously for Black CFPs and minorities, but for others so that they can understand that this industry, anyone can be a part of, whether it's working, right, as an advisor, or two, as we believe, I know you do too, that every person needs financial planning. It is vitally important, whether it's full boat or just a little bit. And so that's what we're here to highlight. So welcome to the show.
Thank you, Stoy. I appreciate you amplifying the work of all of us in financial services and specifically financial planning, because financial planning absolutely has my heart.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. So let's get into it. Let's talk about your firm. Now, it's funny, obviously, I'll let you talk about you joining in 2020, but also that's when I technically launched Black Mammoth. So we're doing two big things in the middle of a pandemic as well. Talk us through how that partnership came about, what you guys are about, and how the ride's been for 2.5, 3 years now.
Absolutely. So I'll start in 2008, actually. That's when I founded Financial Fountains, RIA dedicated to serving the mass affluent, which still at the time in 2008, we know the market was crumbling with the housing bubble. And we also know that financial planning was, what is financial planning and is it for the rest of us, meaning the 99%? So as a part of my journey and being married at the time, a young mom, we made a lot of moves. So at the time, people were accustomed to having financial planners who were right up the street. So fast forward to 2020. I had the opportunity, even before 2020, to meet Rianca Dorseville, who had started her firm, Your Greatest Contribution, some years prior. And we had been masterminding. And we're like, we're doing the same thing. So why don't we join forces? And we did just that in 2020, February 2020, when it became official. We had started in 2019, kind of aligning our practices and moving in that direction. And it's been a great ride. One of the things we realize is that a lot of people, a lot of institutions do not have co-CEOs. You got to pause on that.
Yeah, you sure do.
Right? Because it's so easy being the head honcho, right? Just making the decisions, everything funnel up to the top. And it's been wonderful to see our partnership. And that's what you hear in our name, 2050 Wealth Partners. It starts at home. And for us, in terms of the partnership that we have, it's an experiment because there aren't other models out there at all in terms of co-CEOs. And it's been great. We're a team of four now. The name 2050, by the year 2050, the U.S. will be a racial mosaic. We want wealth to transfer along with it. Well, we believe in the holistic aspect of wealth. That's mental health, that's spiritual health and wealth. That's financial wealth, and that's ingrained in our culture as well, too. And partners, we are all partners on this journey together. We're living into our name. We're having fun with it. We're going deep. We're going hard. We're going fast, but it's fun.
There you go. I love it. I love it, too, because you're right. One, you're doing something unique. Co-CEOs, that's not a thing, right? CEOs want to be the one making the decisions and running with it. So that's tremendous one in itself. But your whole purpose and mission of providing and having the ability for others, anyone really, to have true advice and planning, really difficult, right? That's a difficult vision to achieve in today's society from education standpoint. I just had Rami Pickron on about student loans and whatnot. So we talked about our education system, but also just the taboo-ness of money. I talk about this a lot too, is a lot of people don't talk about their money with everyone, right? That is not the thing to discuss with friends, family. It doesn't matter, anyone. However, we'll talk about the last thing that happened to us medically, or the last time we had to deal with our attorney or whatever. Those are open. However, money is not. So that's going to be my first question to you is, how do we start to transition? And I know we're all doing it, but transition the mindset of our society to being open and having money not be so taboo.
The interesting thing about what we do as financial planners is that people give money to us to talk about money, right? So you got people who are accustomed to protecting their own money, feeling like they don't have enough money of it, having that fear, obligation, guilt, shame, the fog around money, right? And then trusting us enough with their money and their money being used not just for investments, but for advice, which may or may not feel tangible. So let me take a step back in terms of answering your question. And we're doing this through financial planning. Is that I would say probably about 85% of our clients never worked with a financial planner before, meaning they never paid anybody on a consistent basis that's not transactional, right? Year by year. To talk about much. So they're immediately trusting us for a line item that they don't get anything per se tangible from it, right? Because we're not just looking at investments and returns, we're looking at holistic. So that's a lot of trust we're doing. By them extending the trust and us having the conversations, seeing them, meeting them where they are, that empowers them to feel good about their money. And then we are seeing them become financial planning evangelists for other people, saying, you need a financial planner. You need to talk about your money. So that's how we are empowering people to have the conversation about money, is creating that safe space to bring all of that fogs, the fear, obligation, guilt, shame to the table. Put it on the table. It's not your destiny. Everybody feels it. This is a safe space to hash it out so that we can rise above and see what you really want to do with your money. Right. Based on who you
are. And when you have those conversations, especially because 85% have never been through this situation, how much trauma from their childhood or baggage comes up? I was obviously on Twitter a lot, and I had discussed how a Black Mammoth has a service called VIP Day, where it's 5.5 hours. And I was talking about, yeah, we do the financial planning part, but that's like the easy part. The hard part is the trauma and the emotions that come out of it. Do you have any stories or talk through things that you speak about and then that raw emotion comes out and where they go from feeling it to then when it's after that lightened?
Yes, it starts with you, meaning you as the service provider. You got to do the work. You can't see my hashtags doing the work. And that is dealing with your own trauma, whether it's money trauma or any kind of trauma, because trauma ends up showing up in how you spend your money or not spend it. Because I've seen people who are afraid to spend money as well, too. So in order for us to practice what we preach, we need to have the resources. And oftentimes it's therapy. And for Black communities, I can say that was not a strong point. Now I'm emphasizing, do the work with someone who is trained to help with the mind. There are some people who are trained to help with the mind and the money. A lot of us are trained what happened with the money to loosen up the soul to say that alliance partner, that is the estate planner, that is attorney, that is a CPA, that also needs to be a therapist as well, too, in terms of the table. Our second meeting, in meeting with our clients, we go, welcome to discovery meeting. We ask, what's your first memory of money? What are you most proud about? What do you wish you had done differently? That's our second meeting. To get these things on the table, to hear what the trauma is, so that when we come to a situation where someone says, I just work and save and got $500,000 sitting in cash. Mm-hmm. For real. $500,000 sitting in cash. But that's why I'm here, because I don't know what to do with this money. And I've just been trained to set it aside for the rainy day. That's a mindset that we hear in the beginning. And so we design the journey, we pivot in the journey of our financial planning process to address or to open up or to continue the conversation about the trauma so they can really be financially free.
Bringing up the journey, we say journey as well. The wealth journey is, we're not going to create a financial plan and be like, you're good. We talk about this a lot of, as soon as you create a financial plan, it's really already ruined because something happened, right? It has to be a moving amoeba type object. And your journey is that. Your journey will never be over until the day you die. And at that point, it's not your wealth journey anymore. You've passed that on. I believe that a lot of people need to understand that it's lifelong. This isn't a short-term sprint. And because of the definition of wealth over being rich, right? A lot of people think, I'm rich, I'm good, right? I have all this money. I can do whatever I want. Yet you still have that trauma. you're not wealthy. You just have a lot of money and a lot of baggage. And if you really want to do that wealth journey, then you got to hit that on. You got to take those emotions on and learn from that. So I'm so happy you brought up journey. I try to harp on people to be like, it's not going to be a year, 2 year deal. This is going to take you a long time, especially if you have a lot of trauma to get through. So that's fantastic. So where do you operate out of?
Money is all around us, and we think about it more than almost every other aspect of our lives. But how can we make more of it, and what's our drive for building wealth beyond just the numbers in our bank account? Join us on the Make More podcast as our host, Matt Heslin, brings to you a dynamic lineup of experts in the world of investing, business, health, and beyond. Together, they unpack the secrets to not just surviving, but thriving in today's economy. It's about more than just wealth. It's about crafting life experiences, seizing opportunities, and building a legacy. Subscribe now to the Make More with Matt Heslin podcast and join us every week for new expert insights and inspiration.
We are 100% virtual. We were before the pandemic happened. One of the things you said early on was about access to financial planning. That's geographic access as well, too. Who had time to leave their offices? Just that was right. Drive, balance, break, and stuff. And so that's been fun for us to have clients across the country and to also have talent across the country, right? And particularly currently, we're all 100% female-based. Three of us have children, right? If you don't have the commute, and you need the flexibility to take yourself or your children to appointments or to soccer practice or whatever the case may be, we want that balance to be incorporated in our own lives as the employer, the financial planning firm, as well as helping our clients honor that in their lives as well, too. So you asked about geographic location right now. My family and I, we are in Brooklyn, New York. We'll be moving to Chicago in the summer, and I just love the fact that I can work anywhere I want to work. And now that my daughter is graduating, going to college, who knows where you'll see me if you have to come back on.
Absolutely. Hey, I love it. You're coming to Chicago. I'm in Des Moines. That's a lot closer. So we're going to come up. We're going to get together. But you're right. The greatest thing that happened in the pandemic in our industry, in my opinion, is this kick to virtual, like this really huge push to a virtual. And that's because now clients from wherever should be looking us up, which also puts more pressure on us to do more podcasts, to do more social media, to be out there speaking more so they can see us and get to us, because we're not spending the time at local chamber events and dinners and all of that. Honestly, sadly, that's really a waste of time if we're getting down to who we're trying to work with, right? Yeah. We need to be doing more of this. This is what our day is. Obviously, we have to create plans, educate ourselves, research, all of that. But if we're not out there, they can't find us. I think that spin on our industry has been fantastic. And those that can adapt quickly will be the ones that are seen out there. So with that being said, what are you doing? What's your firm doing in regards to getting out there and really taking that approach on?
So I'll start with me and pivot to Rianca. I, 2010, sole practitioner at the time, was going to conferences. I'm like, where are all the people of color? Not on the stage, not in the publications, online, anywhere. And I said this to a publisher who kicked it back to me saying, why don't you write about it? Oh, okay. I will. As a writer, I'm a financial planner. I got a lot to say, but I was saying it on the sidelines, not in the public sphere. And so my first article was using modern portfolio theory, which says don't put all your eggs in one basket. So I'm like, the industry shouldn't put all that in the basket of white. That started. Got me out there. So I can't say that I was intentional about getting out there at a time when compliance was like, no, you can't be on social media. You can't have testimonies. You can't do all those other things. Like, you can't. And so for what happened for me was my voice about the profession, and the profession needing to understand and be exposed to the people that they will be serving was my entree. So that's how I ended up building a digital presence by writing. And then it came to speaking, and then using social media as compliance loosened up. And then Rianca being on the cover of magazines, right? Was like, right. What? Oh, like, why not the industry? I was like, never imagined myself in this way as a practitioner. And so Rianca also built up her personal brand. And so when we came together, we were fortunate enough to have our own personal brand that reflected very well our company culture too. And what we're doing for our two currently associate financial planners, we're like, who are you? What's your brand? And this is one of the exercises I started with them, was your personal existence statement. If you had to summarize your existence, why you're here in one sentence, what would it be? Everybody should have their PDF, right? Before you even work with you, part of another, to know who you are. So wherever your voice is showing up, whether it's a podcast, whether it's where you work and what you're writing or whatever, it comes back to you being true to yourself. So that the trust that we're looking for from our clients, they see us and what we're all about, right? Which changes the dynamics of how people view financial advisors in general.
I just got the chills. I got goosebumps. I love that. This is the first year, probably 2023, actually, probably a few months into 2022 at the end. I've always been the one, kind of what you said, your voice in the background, always speaking on the side. Yeah, we had a podcast, but really wasn't really pushing too hard. That was like the first initial thing. Always out there speaking and having this voice, but not really wanting to blast it out there. My entire career, when I started in 2011, that's when like getting on LinkedIn was a big thing in our industry and had great relationships, but never utilized it to get business, just to build relationships. Now I have way too many connections that I don't know any of them really like. It's just crazy. But what I'm getting to is being able to be loud and just true to who you are, right? Yes. Not being loud and speaking and doing those things and just talking to everybody like I do now, that wasn't me. That was, I believe, a shape of society, but also a shape of our industry. I also was in 2011 where compliance was a little stricter and we were all scared of certain things and all those situations. And now we can be really loud, but I got the chills because one, it hit home very much to me, but that goes across our industry. That goes across just life, right? Just be who you are. Be real to yourself. Things will happen. Everything will come. It might kick people out of your life too. And that is 100% okay. But it's going to bring those strong attractions in. And that's a very powerful statement. So I appreciate that.
Appreciate you and being able to share these gems that we're building with our firms and the next generations and having a way for it to have a broader reach.
Absolutely. And we don't have to have PhDs and all that. That's what always was my thing. Like, I'm not a writer. I don't have a PhD. I haven't gone to school for 16 years. That's not me, but I know what I'm talking about. I know the facts. I know how to present them. I know people's experience. That's tough for a lot of people to get over, is that you are qualified. You are.
And you said that you're not a writer. That's what happened when they said, okay, write about it. So I'm not going to let you get away with saying that you are not. I'm going to let you say, I'm not writing right now.
All right. I'm not writing right now. How about that? Here we go.
And you might not write in the future, but you got to keep things open.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you. I hear you on that. All right. So let's talk about the Facebook group and why. And that seems like a lot of work to me, but why and the purpose behind it.
Okay. So we've been quiet and I'm going to let you be public on this.
Okay. All right.
This is a part of the quiet. And this has been intentional. And this is what I'm going to share about it. So in August of 2020, after the George Floyd situation, I felt like I needed more from the industry as a Black female CFP. And I could say more because I had tested a whole lot of avenues and outlets and volunteerism and saying something is still missing, not speaking to us. So I started a Facebook group for us. And anytime I saw on LinkedIn, we hit a LinkedIn. Anybody who looked Black and had CFP, I invited. And I'm like, whether you're identified or not, you look like it. So just
good.
Bear with me on this. And the whole idea was just creating a safe space with no requirements. No requirements. Just for us to be and to get to know one another. No sponsorship, no recruiting, no all the other things that people want something from us. And I want us to know one another and trust one another, get to know one another, be unified together. And so now we're up to over 200 members of what I'm calling the Black Asset Group. Secure the bag, secure the bag.
Go.
And it's been wonderful for us, everybody, to figure out their voice and share what's important. We've had some town halls, some family meetings, some sessions together intimately to say, who are we before we say to the public, this is who we are and this is what we need. But the goal is to love up on one another as family for real and bring economics to us. That's real.
It is. That's very.
So if anybody's listening to this, no, if you're not a Black CFP, you won't get in. That's intentional. Stay tuned. We're planting the seeds about how we're going to come out the way we want to together. And one of the things, I want us to own it. There's so many things in terms of my A-type that I just built and did. It was like, Lizetta will do it. Lizetta. And it's like, this is us. This is us. And I'm excited about us.
Absolutely. Amen. And I need to do a lot more. So I'll put that on me out there to the public. I got to get more involved. I've been a little busy, but we're good. Those are excuses. This leads to the question that everyone who first comes on the podcast, I always ask. And there's actually two of them, but this one first. So it's going to deal a little bit with Facebook group and the mindset behind that. Why in our industry, collectively, do you not see more partnerships? And I don't mean necessarily like you're in real, because like partnership like that, but why are we not working more together? There is way too many clients out there that we couldn't even touch if we wanted to. We don't all have expertise. Why are we not coming together more to collectively help the end result with the client?
And we can bring in the conversation with Rianca because she wanted to partner. I was like, no, I can't, because I felt guilt and shame about where I'm supposed to be and what needs to happen. The beauty of what I saw with Rianca is that she was a part of a mastermind. They showed each other how to be vulnerable, how to raise their businesses together, which I saw with other counterparts in the industry, but not for Black advisors. We didn't share that concept of working together to build together. And that's an abundant mindset versus a scarcity mindset. And that scarcity mindset, it needs a dissertation on it in terms of the Black community and what we inherited and why.
There's law. Not law.
We don't have time for that today, but it's up and in the back of my mind. So I even risked the partnership, and I had to work through my trauma, and I had to work through my fear, obligation, guilt, and shame, and all of that to come together. And so that's why we're working hard, Bianca and I, because it's just like any other marriage covenant, us too, right? Negotiating. On the same page, same accord, same direction, is that our hope is that we're modeling that it is possible, and that we're seeing with these other firms that have come together and build and merge and acquisition, and everybody wins. But you got to do the work. You got to do the healing work. I had to do that before I partnered, and as I was partnering, she's doing it now, and our team is doing it, right? So it's sustainable. It attracts the money that we
deserve. That's a big one right there.
So I have hope. I have hope with our group. I have hope with these conversations. I have hope for the right partners who don't want to pimp us out, if I'm be honest.
Absolutely.
To take what we have and make it their own. No, it's ours first. We're being caring for you, and the best is absolutely yet to come.
Absolutely. Now, you said 12:30 hard stop, right?
Yes.
All right. Let's wrap it up. We're going to get her back on. Hey, ladies and gents, this isn't done. This has been done. We could be speaking for hours, but definitely appreciate your time. I know you're busy and have a lot going on.
And that's another thing we're going to toss away the busyness. We are intentional.
There you go.
Based on the season for which we find ourselves in.
All right. I love that. I'm going to steal that one. I'm going to have to replay that one a few times for myself. But like always, share, subscribe, hit us up, go do your research. We'll tag her, all the things that we do with social, but we'll definitely have Miss Braxton back on because she's amazing. And for those Black CFPs out there, come talk, come chat, come be a part of our family. We're here for you.
Yes. So Black CFPs, just find me out. If you're not in this group that I'm talking about, this Facebook group as it stands now, reach out to me. We can welcome you in. Would love to.
Absolutely. Well, you have a great day. We'll be chatting soon.
Appreciate you.
Yeah.
The preceding program was sponsored by Black Mammoth. Any awards, rankings, or recognition by unaffiliated third parties or publications are in no way indicative of the advisor's future performance or any individual client's investment success. No award, ranking, or recognition should be construed as a current or past endorsement of Black Mammoth. Information regarding specific awards, rankings, or recognitions is available on the Black Mammoth website, www.blackmammoth.com. All investment strategies have the potential for profit or loss. Investment strategies such as asset allocation, diversification, or rebalancing do not assure or guarantee better performance and cannot eliminate the risk of investment losses. There are no guarantees that a portfolio employing these or any other strategy will outperform a portfolio that does not engage in such strategies. This broadcast should not be construed by any client or prospective client as a solicitation to affect or attempt to affect transactions and securities or the rendering of personalized investment advice due to various factors, including changing market conditions. The information discussed in this broadcast may no longer be reflective of current positions or recommendations. While information presented is believed to be factual and up-to-date, Black Mammoth do not guarantee its accuracy, and it should not be regarded as a complete analysis of the subjects discussed. The tax and estate planning information discussed is general in nature and is provided for informational purposes only and should not be construed as legal or tax advice. Listeners should consult an attorney or tax professional regarding their specific legal or tax situation. Past performance is not indicative of future results.